Welcome in once again to More Than Football here at the Triple M Studios in Adelaide. My name is Tim Baker. We hope you've been enjoying the revamp of More Than Football so far this season. If you haven't listened to episodes that we've previously recorded, we've spoken to Bruce Gitte and Nathan Constantopoulos. But today, I'm here with our Westfield W League midfielder, Dylan Holmes.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a bit of a mission of mine, you know, for those who don't know who are everybody listening right now. I've been trying to get you on this podcast since last season, and through no fault of your own, it hasn't happened, but you're finally here now.
Yeah, finally. I think, yeah, it's been almost a year we've been trying to make this happen, but
that's right.
Yeah, finally made it happen, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and you know, we were just talking about off-air about podcasts and everything. I think it's safe to say you've never been on a podcast before.
No, I haven't. Not a podcast. I've done a little bit of radio, but not a podcast.
What were you expecting before we came in here? Were you unsure about the whole process? Were you like, oh, what's this guy going to ask me? You know, what was your feelings coming in? Were you as nervous as before kickoff?
Surprisingly, no. I'm pretty...
I didn't think you would be.
Pretty chilled right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely it's been cool to be in the Triple M offices and see kind of how everything works behind the scenes. And so that was probably what I was most excited about.
Yeah, it's pretty cool here. Yeah, it's a good setup. And we're pretty lucky that we get to record here in these studios. So... thank you again, Triple M. But so, Dylan, you're finally here. I'm hearing a bit of an accent. You've probably been asked this all the time, but let's start there. Where does that accent come from? Because you were actually born in Brazil.
Yeah, yes.
Tell me about that. How? Where? So, what? When?
Yeah, my dad is a mining engineer. So when I was growing up, we moved around a lot, and so I was born in Brazil. And then the accent, we moved to California when I was two. And so I spent 5 years in Northern California, just outside of San Francisco. And I guess that's where I learned to talk. And now I have the accent. And my mom's American, so I hear it at home a lot. And then after that, we spent some time in South America, in Chile for a year and a half, and then a year in Peru, and then ended up in Adelaide.
Wow. Yeah. So that's a pretty eclectic background and, you know, experience.
Yeah.
So just tell me about that. Like, what, you know, what is it like living in each of those different countries?
Yeah, it was definitely, each place we lived in was very different to the last. And, you know, living in suburban California to a mining camp in southern Peru, like, it's totally different experiences. But, you know, with that, there's a lot of good things, but also some tough times. But yeah, I'm really, you know, grateful that I got to do that. I got to see a lot of the world and experience a lot of different things. So, and luckily football is played everywhere, so I got to play everywhere we went. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, like, some of these mining camps, are they quite isolated places? You're not in the big cities, obviously.
Yeah. So when we were in Chile, we were actually in Santiago, which is the capital of Chile. But then when we were in Peru, we were in a small, I guess it was like a fishing town of about 60,000 people.
Right.
And that's where the mine, like the smelter, actually was. So my dad was there for a year finishing the project, and we lived in a kind of a gated mining community and in the middle of nowhere in southern Peru. So it was that was probably the most interesting experience we've had. But yeah, crazy.
Yeah, how do you like? Did you throw yourself into the culture in each country, or did you not really get a chance to do that?
Yeah, I think probably more so in Peru than in Chile. In Chile, we went to an English school, so all of my classes were in English. And so in that sense, no. But in Peru, there were only three schools in this town that we were living in. And so we went to this one school that was all in Spanish. And so there we really had no choice to, you know, I had to kind of be thrown into the deep end and pick up Spanish as quickly as I could. But, otherwise, like, school was hard. So, yeah, in that sense, we really got thrown into the deep end in Peru, more so. But yeah, in Chile, I got to see a lot of Chile while we were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We drove up from Santiago up to the Atacama Desert, which is right on the Peruvian border. And then we also did Easter Island, which is where all the big Moai are. Yep. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, and can you speak fluent Spanish?
I used to, like, when we lived there. And then I took a year of Spanish. So little bits of it came back, but it's just the vocab that I'm kind of slowly forgetting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. So what? How old were you when you moved to Australia?
I was 9, just about to be 10. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And you've been here ever since then? You haven't?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I did a year of college in the States, but then came back. But yeah, I've been here.
Yeah, right.
It's almost 13 years now, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So how does all that moving around sort of help shape you? Like, does it, like, being uprooted like that, does that allow, like, are you able to roll with the punches a bit more now? Do you feel like it's kind of made you quite balanced, or like, is it had any kind of effect on who you are, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when moving is hard and being uprooted and having to make new friends and, you know, learn new languages and be in new kind of environments, it's hard. But I think I had the advantage of doing it when I was pretty young. So you're pretty malleable when you're that young. And I think now it is easier to go with the flow a bit, having done all that moving. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it definitely has shaped me today.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, you know, those countries are a melting pot of football. So I can see how, you know, you've probably been influenced by that. So, you know, you grew up playing in each of these countries as
well? So when we were in Chile and Peru, girls didn't really play football that much. So played mostly with boys. And, you know, when we were in Peru, I played on like an all-boys team and played with them at recess and lunch. It was kind of, it was nice. That was like, because I didn't have the language down, that was an easy way to kind of communicate and get involved.
Okay. So how did, like, I can imagine, you know, boys in any country can be a little bit hostile sometimes to girls coming in and playing in the team. Did you experience any of that, or were they all pretty welcoming?
I think they were more in like shock that like I could kind of hang. Like, I don't think, especially in Peru, girls really didn't play football at all. Okay. Like in PE classes, I was told that, you know, girls went and did volleyball and the boys played football. So when I started playing with them at recess and lunch, it was kind of like just total surprise, like unexpected. But yeah, they were really great. Like I felt very included, and playing on a team with them in the local league was great. Got to play. My brother played as well. But it was a positive experience for me, which was good.
So, as we know, you know, from what we see, you know, kids in those countries grow up with a football by their side all the time. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that probably a lot of the players you were playing with and came up against were quite skillful. So was that like perhaps some of the best coaching you may have had, just playing with those types of players who, you know, have probably, you know, got a ball at their feet 24/7 if they could?
Yeah, I think, you know, recess and lunch, we played on a cement courtyard outside of the classrooms, and you know, it was just street football. So I think that was really great for me to kind of build my technical base at such an early age, because you kind of had to, you know, you had to try and hang with those boys. So it pushed me to technically be better, but also, like, you know, playing street football is definitely very uniquely, you know, South American and European. Yeah. It's not something that I probably would have been exposed to if I had been living here at that age.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you mentioned your mum is from the US. Dad is Australian?
He's English.
He's English.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yep, yeah, you did mention that.
He is English.
And then your brother, how old's your brother?
He's 24.
24. Okay.
Yeah.
So he was obviously, you know, with you guys over there. Did he plays football?
No.
No?
No. Definitely doesn't. He's more intellectual and artistic than I am. He loves school, and yeah, we're totally different. I always joke to my parents that I was adopted because I'm so different from my siblings, and the whole being born in Brazil thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like that strengthens my case. But
yeah, perhaps so. Yeah. So your brother was born in the UK or America?
In the US. So both my siblings were born in California.
Oh, okay.
And I was born in Brazil.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Tell me about your other sibling.
So I have a younger sister as well. Mm-hmm. And again, she's totally different to me, but it's good. It keeps things interesting. She's also a lot more artistically inclined, likes musical theater and drama, and and I'm not really into any of that stuff. Yep. So
you're the athlete.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So why how did you end up in Australia? Was that because of your dad's work or okay?
Yeah, so we, you know, living in Peru was pretty tough, and so I think he was looking for other opportunities to leave. Mm-hmm. And once the project was finished, like, he could find something else. And he worked at BHP for the last 10 years or so.
Okay.
But it's been great because, you know, me and my two siblings have been at the same school from, you know, primary school all the way through to year 12, and we haven't had to move. And, you know, Adelaide's a great place to be a kid. So
I was going to say, it is a good place for families, but how was that transition going from these, I guess, exotic places compared to Adelaide in some ways, in a lot of ways?
Yeah.
But how was that transition for you guys? You know, did you get here and you were like, this is a bit different?
Yeah, it definitely, you know, living, especially in Peru, I think I was in year three, and I think there were 12 kids in my entire year, and 10 of them were girls.
Wow.
So we came to Adelaide, and my class was, you know, 20, 25 kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a bit overwhelming at first, but also I think there was a bit of a sense of relief that, you know, we were finally moved to a place where we could be here for the long term. And yeah, and Australia's great. We've loved every bit of it so far.
Okay. Do you head back to you still have family in the US?
Yeah, so we still have family in the States. The entire side of my mom's family is in the States, and then my dad's family is all in the UK. So whenever we go anywhere these days, it's either to see either side of the family.
Yeah. And football fans on both sides of the family, or are you the football fanatic? And
I think probably more so my English side than my American side, but like, my aunt came and visited this year in April, and it was the first time she'd seen me play, so that was really nice.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But yeah, definitely more my English side, I'd say, is into football.
Where in the UK is your dad from?
He's from a small town called Winslow, which is about an hour out of London.
Okay.
And my granny still lives in the same house that she lived in when my dad was born 6 years ago. So, very small little country town.
Yeah, right. So do you have ambitions to maybe play in the UK or in the
US? Yeah, you know, for me right now, I'm just trying to finish my degree at uni, and I'm also enjoying playing with Adelaide United and Adelaide City in the local league. So, it would be so amazing to play in England, especially with how the WSL is growing over there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're only 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you're already pretty experienced. And not that we want you to go overseas yet, so don't get me wrong. We're happy to have you in our midfield. But you've got a lot of experience already. Last season was quite... It was your first season back, I think. You spent a season with us.
Yeah, when I was like 17. Yeah, so 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and you just came in and just fit straight in. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, you were their sort of breakout player or, were a player that they, love to see, taking on the challenge and taking on that role in the midfield. So how are you feeling now? You're feeling like... really comfortable, you're feeling good, you know, you just take me through it.
Yeah, and I think this season I'm feeling really good. It's been nice to come into this year having played for Ivan before. So coming into this preseason, you know, I knew exactly what he expected and, you know, what I needed to do to make sure that I could help the team and also, you know, keep playing starting every week. But last year I think, you know, I was lucky in the sense we had a couple of injuries, so I got thrown in to the first game, and I just tried to run with it and soak in as much as possible. And this year now, I feel like I'm a bit more experienced and can really push on and try and take my game to another level.
Yeah, you've been part of a pretty dominant Adelaide City side in the WNPL. So what are some of the differences, you know, from WNPL stepping up to W League?
Oh, the professionalism goes up another level. It's, I think at Adelaide City, it's probably one of the most professional WNPL clubs in South Australia. But with United, I think there's a lot more expected of you on and off the pitch, which is great. I think we all thrive with that expectation. But, and I think also the resources we get, we have access to a lot more resources than we do at the local WNPL level. So it's just trying to utilize them as best as possible. Mm-hmm. And then get good results.
Yeah. And, you're probably safe to say, I think that, you're a bit of a permanent fixture in our midfield now, as we touched on. So how do you see, because it's a young side, right? So For me, looking at it, it's like even if the core group stays together, I think another couple of seasons, most of you will be mid-20s or mid to early 20s. With that kind of experience under your belt, with still, you know, quite young legs, how do you think the team can progress? I mean, there's certainly a lot of potential there for this team, if it stays together, to do some damage, I think, at least in a few seasons.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's easy to forget how young this group is. Mm-hmm. And I think we're getting some really great experiences over the last few seasons. But I also think that, you know, last year we had a lot of older heads around us, whereas this year it's a bit more of a younger team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it will only get better in the next few years if we can keep this local group together. And yeah, I think it's really exciting at the moment. I feel like good things are coming, and the fact that, you know, maybe we haven't gotten the results that we wanted against the teams we've played, but we've been very close. We've been hanging with teams that are stacked with Matildas. So
that's right.
I think it's only going to get better as we get a little bit older and more experienced.
You mentioned your degree. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your degree. What are you studying?
So I'm doing a Bachelor of Advanced Arts at Adelaide Uni. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what I want to do, but this degree is good because I can take pretty much any class I want in the university.
Right.
So I'm just trying to take interesting classes and get a degree and figure it out later.
Yeah. What kind of a student are you?
I'm good when I am enjoying what I'm learning about and I'm interested in it. Yep. If I don't really care, then it's hard to motivate yourself to do the work. But I think for me right now, my priority is football. Mm-hmm. So that kind of impacts how I do at uni. But, you know, while I'm young and able to play professionally, I might as well kind of give most of my attention to that. And, and you know, I can always do school again if I need to. But
that's true.
For now, it's working. And yeah, it's good. It's nice to have something outside of football to kind of fill your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, and I suppose it'd keep you grounded as well, you know. So, but just back onto football, not that it's all about football, as we just said, but, you know, going again back to what I was saying about potentially playing overseas, like, have you thought maybe in the W League off season doing what some of the other girls do and going and playing in another competition to just fully throw yourself into it? Or are you kind of happy with the balance you have?
Yeah, you know, I think I have thought about it, and I think I've thought about it more since I've been getting more game time in the W League.
Yep.
I think, you know, if you'd asked me that this time last year, I would have been like, probably not. Like, I'm probably not there. But I think now having a bit of experience in the W League, it's, you know, and talking to some of the other girls that are the internationals that are here, it's, you know, opened my eyes a bit as to what the possibilities are. And, you know, the fact I'm only 22, there's still some good years ahead of me, hopefully. And just, you know, right now I'm happy with how things are with, you know, trying to get my degree and playing W League and, you know, enjoying playing with Adelaide City. But, you know, who knows what the future holds.
Well, I mean, as you said, there's plenty of Australians that go and play US and then come here, and then the Americans that come over here. So can easily be done.
Yeah.
Out of interest, with all your different passports, who would you play for internationally?
Well, I have played for the Young Matildas.
Okay.
So
yes, that's
right,
you have.
Probably nationality wise and where I'm at now, that would be where I'd be able to play. But it did take a bit to make that happen. I've made some camps when I was younger, and even being a citizen, they had to petition my allegiance to FIFA, and it took about 18 months to get sorted. But so I didn't realize that, you know, playing in the States when I was 7 years old was going to impact my ability to play for
that's right,
the national team here. So it was bizarre. But so I think just on that sense, it would be Australia more than anything else.
Which is great, because that's what we want. but just take us inside that process of having to get that cleared. Because that's, you know, for a diehard football fan, I think it's interesting. People would probably want to know that. So, you know, the fact that, you know, you're a kid, you're just playing football in another country. Oh, this is great. And then, you know, you have to essentially jump through hoops just to be able to get clearance to be able to play for the Young Matildas. This wasn't even the senior team. So explain that process.
Yeah, so I made a camp when I was a junior Matildas camp when I was 15. And at that point, I was an Australian citizen, had a passport. But they figured out that they hadn't switched my allegiance from the U.S. to Australia. And I think because I was a registered player in the U.S., even when I was, you know, 6 or 7 years old, that they had to make sure that I hadn't represented the U.S. in any sort of competition or anything. But I think the process took so long just because it wasn't super urgent. Like, I missed out on that junior Matilda's age group. But by the time the young Matilda's came around, I was eligible. And yeah, so it was interesting. I didn't think anything would really need to happen after becoming a citizen. But yeah, there you go.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Inside the world of football and FIFA. Okay. Well, look, we're going to wrap it up. But first of all, I just want to know, what do you do outside of football?
Oh, well, in the little free time that we get, you know, my days are filled with uni right now. But in the summer, I love the beaches and I do love a good book.
Okay. Yeah. Good book. All right. Mm-hmm. Favorite books?
Ooh, I've read one that I really liked was The Night Circus.
Okay.
I forget who it's by, but it was kind of a quirky book. I hadn't read a book that felt like that. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So is it books on the beach?
Yeah. I do love books on the beach. And I also like reading books when it's cold, like, when it does get cold in Adelaide.
Blanket. Yeah.
Yes.
Heater. That sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
It's really cool.
Okay. I've just had a really great idea. Dylan's book club.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe that's what we need to start
start
doing. We could shoot it like as a video, or we could start your own podcast, Dylan's book club.
Most of the girls don't read that much.
No.
So, yeah, I'm trying to get get some of them to read, but
I'm gonna keep thinking about this because maybe you could host your own thing. We could get other local authors to come and to chat with you. Like, there's a whole world here that we could open up.
A world of possibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me. It's been awesome to finally get you in here and have a chat. And so, thank you again. All the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good chat with Dylan Holmes. Thanks again for listening to More Than Football. Stay tuned to the Triple M app for all the latest episodes. We have more to come. And thank you again for listening.